Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We will continue in the Beatitudes, and we will look at a few verses here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. If you have your Bible in paperback or have an iPad or an iPhone, have you have God's Word, let's look at it this morning. Let's look at verse 1 all the way to verse 9. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And today's verse is, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Lord, you didn't talk here about salvation. You talk to practical Christian living. And I pray, Father, we as your children, may we see this from a different perspective, the way, Lord, many people teach this in the wrong way. And I pray, Father, help us to be the peacemakers in this world that you want us to be. And I pray, Father, Lord, if there's someone here this morning never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may they call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the question is this morning, or the title of the message this morning is, are you a peacemaker? Yes, ma'am. Come up here. Go ahead, give a testimony. Red one. We're not going to lose the opportunity of somebody. The Lord is blessing her, so I step aside for a second.
That song by Rebecca was really powerful. I was just on, I don't know if you've been following the news, how the Temple Mount burnt down. And personally, I think that was an act of God. I don't know if we'll ever know that. But that is a mighty thing that happened. And I was just on there last night, and I was, and I know that's old news, but I was just really telling, you know, just urging people to come to Christ before it's too late. And so that song really just hit me today. And there's a lot of Muslims that are coming to Christ. There's a lot of Jews that are coming to Christ. We really need just to press on. And so that was so encouraging. And I just wanted to say that the Lord, I really, truly believe he's healed my right shoulder. I had a bone spur in my right shoulder, and I believe he's healed it. And before, if I roll over and laid on that arm, it hurt. It doesn't hurt anymore. I can stretch my arm out. And that's the second thing. The other thing is, my brother that's not even saved yet, he's working at my brother-in-law's house, and he fell from the second floor, and when he fell from the second floor, he flipped and landed on his feet, and he's got to know that he's coming to Christ. He's got to know that that was God that protected him and landed him on his feet. He didn't get hurt whatsoever. And there's just so many things that God's doing that we don't even know about. Why aren't we hearing about those things? He's a mighty God. Just keep pressing on.
Well, it takes courage to stand in front of people and talk. Believe me, it's not for everybody, but praise the Lord for Heather and her heart for the Lord. So anyway, when you have a testimony, you better just do it, because sometimes our heart can cool off, and we want to be a blessing to people, so a blessing to her. I tell you what, a person falling from a second floor is not you never know how you fall. But anyway, let's look here in our Beatitudes. The question I was asking is, are you a peacemaker? Are you a troublemaker? See, this world is full of two classes of people. It's full of peacemakers or troublemakers. Some people, wherever they go, trouble goes with them. When they walk in a room, guess what happens? It's like a strong wind. Everybody gets full of anxiety because trouble just gets in. But some people walk in and it's like peace just comes in. So there's two types of people. So these seven Beatitudes show us principles and standards of conduct which are far above anything the world has advanced or even can teach us. In fact, these seven Beatitudes expose the great deficiency of conduct that exists in the world. What they say to do is what people are especially not doing. And for these photographs right here, so to speak, of the characteristics, is the characteristics or should be of a child of God. We should resemble the Beatitudes. That's what I want to try to tell you. You see, Jesus was not speaking here to unsaved people. He's speaking here to saved people. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about practical Christian living. And if somebody's going to see us for who we are as Christian, that should be a picture of who we are. Are you a peacemaker? Or, I mean, you might want to ask that question to yourself, are you a troublemaker? So the seven Beatitudes which focus on peacemaking tells us, Beatitudes which focus on peacemaking tells us the great lack of peace in our world. Folks, is our world really at peace? Only if you were to hear the conversation that politics have behind the scenes, or presidents, what they have behind the scenes. Oh, we are at peace, really? If we did not have peace, peace breaking, we would not need peacemaking. Right? If we don't have peace breakers, we don't need peacemakers. But obviously we need peacemakers because there's a lot of peace breakers out there. So, but peace breaking is what characterizes the world. The strong emphasis which our Savior, Lord Jesus, lays on peacemaking shows that the world around us is full of peace breaking. And so the void of God's peace. So the peace breaking reminds us of the horrible constant contention and enemy which sin brought into the world. And of course our world is full of strife because we have a foe which is called sin. And why we have peace breakers? Because sin resides in the heart of man. And sin comes to destroy you and destroy me. So folks, we live in a falling, cursed world where conflicts are not unavoidable. You might be minding your own business at peace, so to speak, and conflict comes and sits right next to you. Ever been there? And you say, I was just sitting here drinking my little cup of coffee, enjoying this few minutes of peace, and just trouble just sat next to me. You ever been there? Or I'm just the only one. I remember one day I was sitting in my, if you know my backyard, I was sitting in my swing drinking my tea, reading through a message that I was about to prepare. And I looked to my left and trouble was next, sitting right next to me. Don't get me wrong. It was not a person. It was just a news that came to me. Sat next to me and just distort my peace. It happens. So the sooner one accepts the fact, the better. Everyone, sometime or another, will be embroiled in some type of a conflict or a hostility. Conflict may mean anything from harsh words to lose of property or even lose life. Jesus was no stranger to conflict, my friends. He experienced conflict and spoke on the subject in many occasions. In our sermon today, we shall study Jesus' words. Look what he says. Blessed are the peacemakers, or happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Listen. Are you a peacemaker? In your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your church, or are you a troublemaker? Some people walk around with a chip in their shoulders. These are the troublemakers. I dare you to touch it. And if you take that chip out of my shoulders, watch. They're troublemakers. They're not peacemakers. A peacemaker don't walk with a chip on their shoulders. They don't have any. Because their goal in mind is to promote peace. So let's look at this. Are you a peacemaker? From several points this morning. Number one, the peacemakers. The peacemakers. How all this fall of people who are called peacemakers. If we heard the news, that talk about people or talk about people around the house and watch people, we will notice that our world is indeed full of peacemakers. But when it comes to people making peace with others, all people fall in three categories. Okay? They are the peace takers. Letter A. Believe it or not, there are people in our world who are not peacemakers, but they're peace takers. They are joy robbers, so to speak. When they come in, and they come in and they try to suck the joy out of you. You ever been in a conflict and you said, listen, you just sucked the joy out of my heart. Ever been there? Oh, many times in a home. The kids are there. The wife is there. The home is joyful. And the peace taker walks in. The husband. The tyrant. And peacemaker runs out the door because the peace taker just came in and robbed the joy out of the whole family. Sometimes it's a wife. What about you? Work with a peace taker? When they come in, it's like peace is gone. I work with a guy right next to my table. He's not a peace giver or peacemaker. He is a peace taker. Starts in the morning. All the way till evening. Doesn't matter what you say, how kind you are, what you do. He always contradicts you. Always rude, always mean, always unkind. I told him the other day, hey, when are you going to change? What do you mean? I said, you are the rudest person I ever seen. Yeah, I said, you have to say that with a smile. Because if you're going to be a peacemaker, you have to say that with a smile. Because if you say the way he says it, it's war. No, you have to say with a smile. You have to smile and say, hey, when are you going to stop being so rude? They're like, you're rude to everybody. You don't understand. And he goes on. It's like, are you like this at home? He looks at you. Oh, yes, he is. So we have the peace takers. They're always looking for the opportunity to remove peace from the heart of others. You actually can tell them, you can call them, like I said, that peace robbers. They are thieves. They are in the business of stealing peace from your heart and my heart. And then when they put that, they want to infuse fear and hate in your heart. It's the same thing that is in their hearts. So they are the peace takers. So number one, a peace taker loves conflict. You know people, they're always in conflict. They're always like, good in the world that you don't have peace in your heart. What in the world? Anything is a conflict for you. All right, so it's raining. Why are you complaining? It's raining. All right, so it's sunny. It's too hot. So what's the big? Enjoy the day. I'm just using a silly example. So look what it says in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27. You see that peace takers, they love conflict. They're constant. They go from conflict to conflict. You know people like that? They're just living in turmoil every single day. It don't matter if it's sunshine. It don't matter if it's snowing. It don't matter if it's beautiful outside here in New England. Guess what happens? They're always in conflict. If it's not with you, it's with me. If it's not with me, it's somebody else. They're always with conflict. What it says in Proverbs 16:27? An ungodly man diggeth up evil. And in his lips there is a burning fire. That's 27. Proverbs 16:28. I know you guys a lot of ones for you to go and search, but I'll read it to you. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperous spirit chief friends. Proverbs 16:29. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the ways that is not good. Proverbs 16:30. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a tear bearer are as wounds, and they go down into the othermost parts of the belly. So peacemakers, it's people that enjoy strife and conflict. They love gossip. They love slander. They seek out the latest news and can't wait to share with others. They can't wait to suck the joy out of you because they're constantly living conflict. Sometimes they enjoy hearing about the misfortune of others so they can talk about it. Other times they enjoy hearing about other people's problems so they can sit and judge them. Their hearts are constantly in misery. And they strive to make your heart the same way. They are joy thieves. They are joy suckers. That's what they do. They're not pleased where they are. And when they see the smile and the peace and joy in your heart, they can't stop until they suck that out of you as well. Number two, a peace taker uses conflict as an opportunity. The reason a peace taker loves conflict is because they believe conflict is an opportunity for them to feel bad about themselves. They don't know how to have peace in their hearts. So they think that when there's conflict around, there's an opportunity for them to rise to the occasion. That's who they are. I believe you know people like that. And what do you do to people like that? Listen, don't hate them. Pray for them. Let the Lord change their hearts. So the more they focus on the failures and shortcomings of others, the less they focus on their own failures and shortcomings. For an example, if I spend my time focusing on Paul's problems, I have less time to focus on my own. This distracts and helps them to avoid their conscience. This response is selfish and their peace taker is not blessed and is living the way he lives and is rebellious to the Lord. So a peace taker needs to hear the words of Jesus. Look what it says in Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account, therefore, in the day of judgment. For by thy words I shall be justified, and by thy words I shall be condemned. So let it be. We have, first of all, the peace takers. Number two, we have the peace fakers. We have the peace fakers. Now, not only is our world full of peace takers, but also there is a plenty of people in our world who are peace fakers. I hope you're not one of them. In other words, in order for everything to go smooth and everything to work the way they want, they fake to be at peace. Some even fake and lie to others that they made peace with God. So those who consistently speak them or try to reach them for the Lord will leave them alone. Those type of people hurt themselves more than they think. They don't want trouble. So they're peace fakers. They think they are at peace. Oh, folks, how many homes are like that? How many homes are wives fixed to be at peace, to just accommodate so it is known or be non-disturbed with the family? How many homes a husband will shop things under the rug so it'll be peace in the home? How many churches are like that? How many jobs are like that? How many friends we try to avoid confrontation so that it will be peace? They are the peace fakers because, you know what? They're hurting themselves. They know what they're doing is wrong, but you know what? They don't have the guts to stand up. So they're fake peace. Number one, the peace faker hates conflict. A peace faker is someone who does not enjoy conflict. Unlike the peace taker, they seek to personally avoid conflict at all costs. Let me tell you, I guess I'm a peacemaker because, goodness, I try to make peace. Sometimes I'm the one who gets the wrong end of the stick. You ever been there? You try to make peace. You try to help. And the end of the stick, they get their own peace. And you are the one to blame. You ever been there? And you go, what did I do wrong? I just try to help. You ever been there? Often they do not care that other people are involved in conflict as long as it doesn't affect them personally. How many people say that? I don't care what's going on in this world as long as it doesn't come into my house. Guess what? If it's in the world, it will creep into your house. Right. If it doesn't creep to the front door, it will creep to your TV. If it doesn't creep to your TV, it will creep to your phone or your iPad or your computer. It will creep somewhere. Yeah. So the peace faker, when presented with gossip or slander, will usually do two things. They will remain silent when gossip is shared and pretend not to hear it. You know how gossip stops? When you say, where did you hear that from? Oh, from so-and-so. Well, where did that person heard that from? Because you know what? Sometimes if we don't speak, we consent. That's right. If we consent, guess what? It gives fuel to the person to keep going. Yep. You might look like the devil if you make a stand. But sometimes, you know what? They made that's the thing. The first one, they remain silent when gossip is shared and pretend not to hear it. Number two, they may join with the gossip in order to remain in good terms with the gossiper. I don't want to lose that friend, so whatever they do, I'm not going to tell them anything. We just go along with it. I had a friend that he was a nice guy until he drank. And when he drank, he was very mean. Okay? So one day we went to a feast. We were young. We went to a feast and he got drunk. I don't know how he got drunk so fast, because I look around. It was time for us. I was not with him. I was there, but I was not with him. I would sit down with other people. We're talking. And when I got to him, I mean, regardless, I drove his car many times. But that night, Rambo was not going to let me drive his car. And he said, "You're not driving my car." I said, "Okay, so I'm not going home with you either." I said, "You know, I should have done one thing. I should have called the police that night. But I didn't. Too young and stupid at the time." So he drove the car until the next morning. I got a phone call at my home. And my mother was not very happy with me, because his mother was on the phone yelling and screaming and saying how bad we were. So I got to the phone, and she started talking to me. I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And she said, "You with my son last night?" I said, "No, I left with your son. I didn't come home with your son. What happened?" "Well, he got to a car accident, passed a red light, hit three cars, went home, put the car in the driveway, and went to sleep. So when the police came to the house, he faked that as somebody stole his car." So the police officer said, "I heard that story many times before. He got arrested for DUI. Was on 6 months probation. And you know what? And he came and talked to me. And let me tell you, I didn't like let her go under the rug. You know what? I took a stand. I let him know. You could have killed somebody. Did you care about the people that you hurt? Right. You see, you should have let me drive that car home. Or you should let that car stay there and get somebody to drive you home." Well, he was not my friend for a long time. He didn't want to hear it. Already heard this. Well, maybe you didn't need it here again, right? So a peacemaker or a faker is the one that let it go just for the sake of not making strife with friends. Sometimes we have to tell our friends what needs to be said. You see, as long as it does not affect them, the peace faker is content. But when they are personally involved in conflict, they quickly run from it. They don't want trouble. Many times they have a green pasture syndrome, so to speak. They feel that if they can't find a new location, a new job, a new friend, a new church, a new family, then the conflict will stop and they will be happy. So they are constantly moving because they avoid conflicts. Listen, folks, listen to me well. Where there is people, there is conflict. Follow that? You say, "I'm going to leave this job because I can't stand these people." Well, go to the next one. They're waiting for you. "Oh, I can't stand my family. Oh, you want to come to mine?" It's always conflict. Where there is people, there's conflict. It's how you deal with it. Listen, my dad always told me this. Don't run away from your trouble. Face it. Resolve it. If you run away from your trouble, guess what? You're going to run into more trouble. Then you're going to come to a place you have no place to go. Didn't Jonah run away? So what this type of people fail to understand is that with his people, like I said, there is always trouble. All people are full of trouble. Number two, we see the peace taker, then the peace faker. Oh, no, we have another one here in the peace faker. So the peace faker is conflict devastating. That's number two. The reason a peace faker hates conflict is because conflict is devastating to self-esteem. In other words, some people don't like conflicts. The reason why, they always fake everything and that everything is okay. We have people who love and live for strife and conflict, but there are others who avoid conflict at all costs. Doesn't matter. People that you try to get something out of them, they walk away from you. They don't want trouble. They, any sign of little thing, they walk away. See, the worst mistake a person makes is to run away from their trouble. Yeah. So let us see the peacemakers. So our world is full of peace takers. Our world is full of peace fakers and genuine peacemakers. So we praise the Lord for those who are genuine peacemakers. Well, my question to you this morning, what kind of peace are you? What kind of person are you? Are you a peace taker? Are you a peace faker? Or are you a peacemaker? So, we praise the Lord for those who strive to be peacemakers. So number one, the peacemaker hates conflict. So a peacemaker is someone who does not enjoy being involved in conflict, but he finds himself there. The reason a peacemaker hates conflict is because conflict separates friends. Conflict separates families. Conflict separates churches. Conflict does all kinds of stuff. And you know why? He finds himself in the middle trying to fix it. So the peacemaker understands that no one wins in an argument. First of all, let me tell you this. We need to stop arguing and be better communicators. Because arguments does not resolve anything. You tell me how good you are and how bad I am, I'm going to tell you how good I am and how bad you are. That's conflict. Okay? He's always pointing fingers. But when we communicate, that's what we do. We sit down and communication comes with a resolution. Conflict doesn't solve a problem. It makes the problem worse. Communication, guess what it does? We resolve the problem. Why companies have meetings? Why they meet like 2-3 times every day? You know why? To resolve problems. All right, so Joe over there made a mistake. How can we overcome that? Let's have a meeting. Oh, that machine broke down. How can we fix that? Let's have a meeting. See, they communicate in order to move forward. Folks, people don't see that. So they got stuck in the same place all the time. So peacemakers, they hate conflict. When they sin against someone, they confess that and ask forgiveness immediately. When they are involved in a conflict, they seek to reconcile. They do this in two stages. First, they remember God's forgiveness of their sin and they ask God to help them to love other people. Folks, let me put it this way. There are people who are not very lovable. Agree with me? And what do? They're not very lovable. You're going to treat them the same way? You see the difference? Listen, are we very lovable towards God? Really, let's put it this way. Does God love us? Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You see, how we are to forgive people as a peacemaker? The way Christ forgives you. Folks, is that easy to do? No, it's not. But that's the way He wants us to forgive others. The way Christ forgave us. Jesus didn't say, I forgive you about this. But that one over there, I have to think about it. Let me have a cup of coffee about it. I'm just kidding here. But anyway, no. Jesus forgives and He forgives. It's done. The second stage is they seek out the other person so that they can resolve the conflict in a Christ-honoring way. They strive to live a peace with peace with all men. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 14, 12 verse 14. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Romans 12, 18 says, if it is possible, as much as light in you, live peacefully with all men. So number two, the peacemaker uses conflict as an opportunity. The peacemaker hates conflict, but sees an opportunity for the love of Christ to be displayed. They see this an opportunity for relationships to be healed and for God to be glorified. Listen, when I counsel people, especially couples, I don't go and say, guilty. I would never do that. Because that's not resolving conflict. The person already knows is guilty. Listen, when my dad came down with lung cancer, I didn't tell my dad, listen, didn't I tell you that smoking all these years might give you cancer? You think that he didn't know? You know what I want to do there from now on is love him in his last days and make sure that Christ loved him, give him the gospel and make sure that he made peace with God, not tell him, I told you so. Blah, blah. You know, that's sometimes what we do. When we do that, we're not peacemakers. We're just trying to cause strife. They see the hurt and conflict bring disrupt and disrespect the people. And let me tell you, and bring disrespect to the name of Jesus. So if people see Christians fighting, they may say, if that is that what Christ brings, forget it. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Right.
They also see that reconciliation is a powerful witness of Christ. So peacemakers are people that are always looking to bring peace and reconciliation where there is no peace and no reconciliation. My question to you today, are you a peace taker? Are you a peace faker? Or are you a peacemaker? So number one, we see the peacemakers. Number two, we see the requirements for peacemaking. None of us here are born with the tendency of being peacemakers. Look at the playground where kids play. There's no peace with the kids. A kid comes with a beautiful toy before you know that's somebody else's toy. And if the kids say, give me my toy, that's what they're doing. Tears going on, going at each other. So we're not born with the tendency of being peacemakers. All of us here were born with a sinful, selfish nature. A nature that strives to please self above all others. Why teenagers have so much conflict? Come on, teenagers. Why there's so much conflict? Because they're not peacemakers. Many of them are thinking about themselves. Yep. Life is about me, myself, and I. I have my needs. My parents are too old-fashioned. They don't understand. Oh, I used to think the same way. Let's look at my mom and dad. One time I told my dad, you're too old-fashioned. Ooh, I regret those words. I regret those words even this very day. Hey, you're too old-fashioned. You don't understand. Excuse me? And my dad was not a man of many words. But let me tell you. So we see the requirements for peacemaking. Letter A, the meaning of the word. So the word translated peacemakers in the Beatitudes simply mean to make peace. So the Greek word is found only once in the New Testament, although other related words are used in the New Testament right here. So the word is a combination of two Greek words. It's called aeron, peace, and apoios, to make peace. So to be a peacemaker involves more than talking about peace. It involves you being involved. There are a lot of people out there that talk about peace. That's the only thing they do. It means to be active and to do something positive about bringing peace where there is hate and strife. I tell you what, I know people. I saw many conflicts in my life when people come and there's a conflict. You know what they do? They put fuel to the fire. You ever been there? They're not peacemakers. They come and entice. I remember when I was a kid. I mean, kids don't play in the playground anymore. I used to go to the playground and play ball. And the boys were there having a little shoving, you know, whatever they were doing. And here goes in a little circle in there in the playground. And the other boys, nobody was a peacemaker. Everybody was, the fuel to the fire. And enticing them to go at it. And if a peacemaker goes in, sometimes the peacemaker got the best out of it. One time I tried to be a peacemaker. Oh, goodness. I walked there with a nosebleed. Because I didn't expect that. But anyway, so to be a peacemaker involves more than just talking about it. It involves being involved. So the work of a peacemaker covers many areas. He's not only concerned with peace between men and men, but more important, the peacemaker is concerned about man making peace with God. And let me tell you, if you never make peace with God, you are at war with God. Folks, when you invite someone to church, give someone a tract, a gospel tract, tell someone about Jesus, you are trying to make that person making peace with God. So unsaved people need to make peace with God because they're, like I said, they're not at peace with God. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8 verse 6. For the to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is in enmity or as an enemy, is at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So a peacemaker does only strive to prevent contention, strife, and war, hostility in family, but a peacemaker will strive to get man right with God. Let it be the must for peacemakers. Now look what it says. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The children of God. To be a peacemaker for Jesus, it requires at least two important qualifications. They are important. First of all, it is that sanctification process. In order for you to be a peacemaker for Jesus, you have to be a sanctified person. That process of sanctification literally makes sure that you are at peace with God yourself, that you are walking in His ways, so you can be a peacemaker for Him. Listen, there are many Christians who do not walk in peace with God. You know why? Because their eyes are in the world. They're not seeing that road that leads to heaven. They're not seeing how they can live a life that brings glory to God, blessings to themselves, and be a witness to others. They don't see that. They are too focused on the ways of this world. Let me tell you, I was so intrigued yesterday. I love soccer. If you guys know, I'm from Europe, so I love soccer. And yesterday I was looking at a New England Revolution. So I said, I got to go see. I've never been to Foxborough Stadium watching a game. So I got to see a game. You know what I did? What happened? All their games are Wednesday nights and Sundays. I said, okay, that's off the mark. I'm done with it. So anyway, folks, this qualification taught us that in the work of Jesus Christ, in order to bring peace with God for mankind, we have to absolutely be separated to go in this process of sanctification. You see, to be a peacemaker the way Jesus describes in this passage is not an easy thing to do for any Christian. It is hard to be this kind of a peacemaker when a Christian is more interested in enjoying the enemy than practicing sinful activities that they do instead of personal sanctification. You see, some Christians, and I'm not saying this, you don't think like, oh, pastor's talking about me. No, I'm generally speaking right here. I tell you what, some Christians, they're more interested in joining the enemy than they are to join the soldiers of Christ, those who are trying to be sanctified and trying to make peace into this world. They're too interested out with the enemy. They go to the enemy ground and they mingle with them to a point that they don't even recognize who they are. Isn't that sad? You see, let us see the misrepresentation of the peacemaker. Look what it says again, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let me remind you of a very important fact here. This verse has been taken out of context by many denominations for so many years, and they keep doing that. Now every worldly peacemaker is a child of God. You follow that? They have the Peace Nobel Prize out there. And sometimes you scratch your head, how that guy got the Peace Nobel Prize in the first place? Anyway, but listen, Jesus Christ is not talking about those who are world peacemakers out there trying to make good deeds to make peace. No. He's talking to Christian people here. This passage is taken out of context for a long time. You don't have to do those things to get to heaven. You know how you get to heaven? By repenting of your sin, accepting Jesus' gift of salvation. That's how you get to heaven. Not by doing these deeds. Some denominations would teach you that. Oh, if you do all these things, look, you become a child of... No, it's not. It's practical Christian living. There are far too many people who believe that by their peace deeds, they will get to heaven as their reward. And they even say, I deserve to go to heaven because I'm a peacemaker. Oh, really? How many people are peacemakers on the outside and they go to their homes, they are peacemakers? How many people are great peacemakers in their job, but they're peace robbers in their homes? How many people are sucking the joy and the peace out of their children, out of their spouses? But in the world, people look at him, oh, that's a peacemaker. No, that's a person with two faces. Or a person that lives with a mask. See, number one, we see the peacemaker. Number two, the requirements for a peacemaker. Number three, the duties of a peacemaker. Some Christians find it exceptionally difficult to become a peacemaker in this world. When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, he's not referring to someone who passively imitates the ways of the world to gain their friendship. Listen, Jesus was a peacemaker, wasn't he? He went up on Calvary's cross. The disciples were peacemakers. They all died. They all killed. Let me tell you what. When sometimes you're a peacemaker, and that's what they view you. We don't want you around. We love our conflict. We love our turmoil. Get out of here. You're not popular. You see, And that's the way it happens sometimes. Do you fit in this definition of a peacemaker? If you feel you fall short of this definition, do not be dismayed for the rest of the sermon, of course, because a peacemaker sometimes is not popular. So what does a peacemaker needs to do? The duties of a peacemaker. Number one, or letter A, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 27. So if you're going to be, what is the duty of a peacemaker? We need to love the unlovable, those who hate you. And I believe all of us have people that don't like us. And you know some people say, I don't know what I've done to that person. That person don't like me. And no matter what you try to do, you can bring a nice, fine Boston cream pie and bring it to their house. You can bring them a nice meal. It doesn't matter. They're not going to turn their minds. But what do? Love your enemies. Look what it says in Luke 6:25. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for them that which despisely use you. And unto him that smitten thee in one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away the cloth, forbid not to take thy cloth also. See, Jesus said right here, you know what? Even your enemy, if he smits you on one cheek, give him the other. He said, that's a hard thing to do. Yeah, because naturally when somebody hits you in one place, guess what happens? You're going to respond. That's natural. But a peacemaker is the one that take it. Wasn't Jesus smitten? Wasn't Jesus spitting on the face? Listen, if somebody spit on your face, what would you do? That's the most disgusting, degrading thing somebody can do. And these people smit or spit in the face of God. And Jesus said, love them. Wow. So love your enemies. Number two, let it be. Be quick to forgive. We're saying, look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So if you are a peacemaker, if you live in this process of sanctification and you are a peacemaker for Jesus, guess what? Be quick to forgive those who hurt you. I will never forgive you as long as I remember what you have done. That's how people sometimes act. As long as I remember what you did to me, I will never forgive you. That's not a peacemaker. A peacemaker is one that is quick to forgive. They forgive. And they go on. Because ultimately, the Bible says, blessed or happy are those who are peacemakers. Folks, to be a peacemaker, one must be quick to forgive. Building bridges and tearing down animosity is only possible when both parties are more interested in a healthy relationship with one another than in being vindicated towards one another. Peacemakers do not gossip, do not carry favor for their position, but instead keep no record of wrongs. A peacemaker is a person that is at peace with God and try to make peace with others. Believe me, there are people, don't matter how much of a peacemaker you try to be and how much you're quick to forgive, they just don't like you. But let me tell you, if we're going to keep a record of wrongs, you know what it's going to do to us? It's going to hurt us in the long run. Bitterness and hate and anger and clamor comes in our hearts and takes root in there. When you see that person, when somebody names that person's name, everything is going to come out. And you know, it's like with this cartoon, sometimes your face gets all red and goes, boop, boop, you're ready to explode. Forgive and go on. Then Jesus, from the top of Mount Calvary, said, Father, forgive them. They didn't ask God to forgive them. Forgiveness. He told the Father, Father, forgive them. You know, sometimes people do wrong to you. They will never ask you for forgiveness. Don't expect it. They just don't do it. You know what you do? Oh, they have to come to me and ask me forgiveness. You know, they just don't. You know what we do? We just forgive them. That's the qualities of a peacemaker. Let us see. Acts of reconciliation. Blessed are those not only who seek to restore their own relationships with the enemy, but also help others to seek to find reconciliation. Listen, that's what some people try to shy away. I'll tell you, folks, how many times I've been in the midst of conflict, not my conflict, try to help people their conflict, and in the end, seem somewhere, somehow, they get at peace with each other. I am the devil on two legs. And they won't talk to me. Because so I'm like, when the world did I do wrong? I remember there was a couple, not from this church, okay? It was a couple. The husband left the wife because he was cheating on her. I talked with the wife. It was related to my family, to be honest with you. And there was no word. I said, you want me to talk to your husband? Yes. I went and talked to the husband. I made him see things. I took him, sit down with them, talk to him. He went back home. He wouldn't talk to me for over a year after that. And I said, what in the world did I do wrong? I just try to make peace between those two. I still don't know what I did wrong to this very day. So we see act of reconciliation. A peacemaker is a person always looking to reconcile things that have been broken. That is the righteous living. A peacemaker is a righteous living person. The final piece of advice as becoming blessed as a peacemaker is to always live the gospel message. Nothing destroys the credibility of God's peacemaking any faster than merely reading but not obeying His word. And let me tell you, if we want to be peacemakers, we want to be prepared to help people who are not at peace. You know how we help them? With the word of God. Not my opinion, not what I think. This is what God says. You see the difference? When you say this is what God says in His Word, and that's why they have to take it. It's God's Word. When you say, oh, this is my opinion, oh, you're deviating. You're just really moving away from it. So a peacemaker is one of righteous living. He lives the Word of God. He practices the Word of God. And he tells others to do the same thing. Go to James chapter 1, verse 22. I want you to hear something. James 1, 22, all the way to verse 24. Look what it says. It says then, James 1, 22 says, be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearing of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. You see, God says to me and you, don't just listen, apply it, live it. Pastor Adam, Brother Valquette this morning said, oh, Pastor had come out with this good message. But the good thing is, a good message. What are you doing with the message? It's go live it. Righteous living. If we're going to be peacemakers, we need to know the Word of God. We need to live the Word of God, know the Word of God, so we can help other people with the Word of God. Amen. So number four, we see the growth of a peacemaker. Almost done. The growth of a peacemaker. How can we grow as peacemakers? If you're not a peace taker, if you're not a peace faker, but you are a peacemaker, how do you grow as a peacemaker? Number one, to grow as a peacemaker, we must continually get rid of sin in our own lives. I say this now all the time, keep short accounts with God. Don't let sin grow in your life. Don't let that sin take over your mind and your heart. Number two, to grow as a peacemaker, we must be painfully honest. Be honest with people. We have many liars in our world. You know, we come to a time in these days, people lie right in your face with a straight face. They don't even get a little red or uncomfortable. They're poof, right there. And you go like, why are you lying to me? Sometimes that's what we need to say. Why are you lying to me? And sometimes we just sit there going, liar. He's such a liar. We need to be honest, painfully honest. And sometimes when we're honest, we lose friends. We lose family members. Sometimes, I can't believe you said that. Oh, I'm being honest with you. I'm not being mean to you. Number three, to grow as a peacemaker, we must be willing to risk pain. Anytime we confront sin, seeking to restore people to the Lord and others, we risk being misunderstood, hated, and even persecuted, such as is in a lot of a peacemaker. Sometimes it happens. To grow as a peacemaker, sometimes we're the ones who got hurt or get hurt. Number four, to grow as a peacemaker, we must develop healthy communication skills. How good of a communicator are you? He said, I don't talk much. Learn to talk. Before you talk, think about what you say. We need to be good, healthy communicators. You know the problems of many homes? The problem of miscommunication? For an example, a wife is at home. She knows what time the husband leaves work. The husband doesn't show up until midnight. And the wife says, where you been? She's not trying to be a judge. She's concerned. And the husband goes, mind your own business. That's bad communication. That communication leads to a wall, which eventually will destroy that marriage. See, good communication, we explain, listen, if I get out of work, and I don't get home right away. Sometimes, you know, if I pass in the store or stop in the gas station and get gas, I get home, my wife said, hey, you're a little late. Yeah, I just felt like I stopped in the gas station, I did this and that. What's wrong with that? Oh, you're weak. Nothing to do weak. It's being communicating with the person you love. If you don't do that, guess what you do? And you're causing conflict in your very home. It's happened in jobs. It happened in everywhere. It happened in churches. See, we need to learn to be good communicators. That's peacemaker. Peacemaking. Look what it says. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterward. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stirs up strife or anger. You see, number five, to grow as a peacemaker, we must return good for evil. Oh, this is a problem for a lot of people. You telling me I have to turn good for evil? I'm going to treat them the same way they treat me. That's not a peacemaking. Number six, to grow as a peacemaker, we must develop perseverance. The word quickly doesn't live in the mind of a peacemaker. He is committed. Often it takes a long time to root out. But we know what? You need to persevere to grow as a peacemaker. Number seven, to grow as a peacemaker, look what it says, we must trust God. You know what? We study the Word of God, we read the Word of God, we memorize the Word of God, we help people with the Word of God, and when we do that, we trust the Lord, that God's Word will not return void. I conclude with this. What kind of peaceful person are you? Are you a peace taker? Are you a peace faker? Or are you a peacemaker? All of us fall in one of those right here this morning. Same thing in those of you who are following us on social media. Are you a peace taker? Are you a peace faker? Or are really you a peacemaker? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord.